Welcome to the FMCG podcast. Make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a five-star review. It really helps us out. Enjoy the show. Hi, my name's Rich and we're Consume Hub and we focus on consumer recruitment across the consumer sectors. And this is the FMCG podcast where we speak with some of the best leaders that we can get our hands on and get them straight to your ears and your visuals so you can hear and see all about what they're getting up to in their specific fields and get a little bit of an insight into how they've built their careers and also how you can build their experiences and build your careers as well. So today we've got Martin, Client Relations over at Gotta Be Marketing, and we're going to be hearing all about out-of-home activations and sampling, which is a really interesting area for us. We've never done a podcast on this before, so I'm really excited to be learning kind of a little bit how you put together a great activation and sort of sampling campaign. But Martin, can you just give us an insight into you, your role, what you've been doing today, and what's happening over there at Gotta Be Marketing?
Yeah, of course. I mean, firstly, thank you for having me. So as you mentioned, my role is client relations lead here at Gotta Be. So essentially, I look after my own clients, so FMCG brands that are looking to sample and activate across consumers, whether that's sampling in offices, in retail spaces, or at events. So for me, the real focus of my role is delivering those campaigns and ensuring that we keep a good relationship with that client and they keep coming back.
Nice. So do you get right into the nitty-gritty of sort of campaign strategy planning, or do you sort of pick? Yeah, you do. Okay, yeah,
full end. All the way from planning to execution. So one thing that we're really keen on as an agency is also showing up to those events and not just kind of being sat behind computers the whole time. So if I give an example, I have just finished giving away three of my weekends to travel the country across London, Birmingham and Manchester to do a can sampling. So I really like being out there and seeing a campaign actually delivered as well, rather than just sitting behind computer screens.
That's great. Yeah, that's really interesting you mentioned that, actually, because we do a lot of work in the drink space, and it's increasingly like an area that anybody in the on-trade that we place gets tested on at a second stage presentation is, right, we want to hear from you your ideas around best-in-class activations. And you know, particularly for festival season, you know, there's probably going to be an element of sampling in there as well. But it's about making it more than just freebies, isn't it? It's making it kind of stand big and proud and be sort of part of your marketing efforts. I was looking at some of the figures on your campaign on your website where you've done record leg sampling, was it?
Yep.
Down in the southwest, and it boosted sales kind of 100% after that, which was kind of really cool to see. So yeah, tell us a bit about Gotta Be Marketing then. Obviously, like, you touched on it there, but like, what's the history of the business? Where's it come from? And why do people spend money with you? Like, because that's what it boils down to, isn't it? Like, you know, you there's clearly an ROI because you've got a successful business.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're 15 years old this year. We had a couple of celebrations this year for 15 years. We started as a small staffing and events agency. So staffing in the field, doing activations like we mentioned,
yeah.
And really just grew from there. Obviously, what happened with the COVID-19 pandemic meant that we had to kind of shift and adapt from the basis of the fact that nobody was doing any in-person activations because we were all sat at home. So we developed the offering slightly there and started offering kind of digital services and everything that comes with that. So now we are what we call a solutions-based agency. So essentially what we've done is packaged what are often called services by other agencies into solutions. And essentially what that means is no one of our customers gets the same experience with us. We listen to their challenges and we present the best way that we think of solving those challenges. And that's really the important thing for us, is that we're listening to clients and not just kind of picking up one activation and using it across multiple brands.
Yeah, nice. You've not got the same Gotta Be truck that just gets reskinned
So it's really interesting you mentioned that, because there's so many in the industry that will lift and shift, or sometimes even if they're at events, they'll have two clients at events and they'll charge twice for something that they only need to use once. So they'll charge for delivery twice, even though they're there anyway. But for us, it's really important that we have a unique approach per client, really.
Great. No, I love that. Your website and the way you come across, and even the way you reached out to us, got loads of personality. And I really like the neon you got behind you as well, like quality over quantity. Tell me a bit about that. Is that the company tagline? You know, how's that sort of hinge on the culture and what you offer?
So it's the kind of approach that we want to lead with as a business. So we would always much rather work with a small pool of clients but deliver really good work than overload ourselves with work and then the quality dips. So our focus is always on the quality of what we deliver. Bright colors is something that we live and die by. You'll have seen on the website it's a bright orange. You can see a little tiny bit of bright orange over there. So again, that's just really so we stand out. The brilliant thing is whenever we're at B2B events and we're prospecting, we'll all go with bright orange t-shirts and you'll stand out in a sea of gray and white. I think when you exist in an agency landscape, you have to stand out, and that colouring is a really good way that we do that. I mean, I even donned it at a awards evening recently.
So nobody ever thinks you're escaped American convicts then? They know you're from Gotta Be.
The orange. It's not jumpsuits.
It's not, that's all right then.
Nice.
That's cool. So it's all about activation, sampling, and like you said, solutions there. If somebody came to you and so what's your mission? You know, what makes you different from anybody else? I appreciate, obviously, you've got that integrity there. But when you're putting together these solutions, what is it that you want to achieve for customers? What's the mission there? What are you hoping that the activations and sampling does for people?
So I think I mentioned, per client, it's completely different on what their goals and objectives are. But for us as an agency, our mission is really, really simple. Our mission is to do what we love and deliver it with an abundance of passion. And essentially what that means is we need to truly buy into the clients and the brands that we work with to help deliver great work for them. And we think if we can deliver great work, then everything else falls into place off the back of that. If we're delivering great work for clients, then they're coming back and spending more, and you're growing the business that way. For us, we approach that mission with really good big ambition as well. We have a growth plan as an agency in 5 years, serve some of the biggest brands across the UK. You might have seen already, we work with the likes of Donno's, Record League, Southern Co-op at the moment. So we're not doing bad at the moment, but we'd love to work with bigger and bigger clients. The way we believe that we deliver that is through great work.
Nice. Well, just on that point around great work, I appreciate that solutions are specced out to fit with a client's objectives, but just talk me through what makes a good best in class out of home activation and sampling event, you know, just or campaign. What does that look like from planning right through to execution results? What are those sort of criteria that you're looking to score and where you think, we won there?
So for us, it's really about audience. So one of the things that I always bang on about is what's the best insight that we can derive pre-campaign about where we can activate really effectively. So whether that's looking at retail sales, say it's a brand listed in Sainsbury's, say it's retail sales, we look at your best performing Sainsbury's stores and we look at your worst performing Sainsbury's stores, and let's go and see what's working well in one and what's going badly in the other. And then really understanding your audience behind that, the context of which the brand itself is consumed, and being really relevant to that at the point of sampling. Sampling close to or enabling well the purchase after the fact. So sampling is one of the really core things for brands to do, purely because in a lot of FMCG brands, well, in all FMCG brands, one of the core barriers for consumers is trial.
Yeah.
So as a consumer, I'm not going to part with my hard-earned money on a brand that I don't know whether I like or not. There's a risk element there. So you can really de-risk that through that trial. But then also, I think the final thing that we really hammer home is how we create an experience around the brand. Because what you'll see is always consumers will allow themselves to spend more on a brand if they have an emotional connection to that brand. So that's why you see brands that kind of champion sustainability work really well, or equally just brands that people think are fun. You will buy from a brand because of its packaging, because it kind of had that fun experience behind it as well when you did sample. So it's not just kind of setting up a stand and chucking out samples of people. There's a methodology to it, and there needs to be an experience behind it as well.
So kind of building in kind of that magic mix of, like, you know, good planning, find the right audience, get the products to them, and then build a memorable experience so they get that emotional connection, and then you can drive, you know, brand recognition and sort of penetration and purchase as well. That's really interesting. Tell us a bit about, like, scalability. Like, how do you scale campaigns? Because I imagine that, you know, you're going to be working, because you work at Dorset Tea, don't you? So, like, Dorset Tea versus Domino's, right, literally polar ends of the market. You know, how do you sort of get the scale right, and how do you make sure that, you know, you're getting value for the budget that brand's got?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a really common thing of battling with budgets, and it really doesn't matter the size of the budget either. You say Dorset Tea versus Domino's there, even with big budget campaigns, you're always struggling for budget because they're always asking for more for budget. I think the value that you can always find is finding clever ways to do things and clever ways to deliver things to that budget, but equally, as I mentioned, that scales as well. So we always find ways of delivering campaigns that may not have already been thought about. So innovation is a really key part of how we deliver a lot of the work that we do as well.
Nice, yeah. Just give us a war story. Give us a worked example of, like, one of the coolest activations you've done, and like, just, yeah, kind of just give us, paint the picture. Let's just kind of get into the detail of it.
Yeah. So my favourite one, and it's probably because of my age. So every year we do a Domino's campaign based on students. So if you imagine back to the day when you were a student, you're probably like me. It probably wasn't a long time ago. they exist in an area, in a market that is extremely crowded by probably three or four big players, and then you think indirect competitors as well. I'm going to go to millions of people that I have available on an app. So for them, they really need to stand out, and for them, students is a really key market. So for us, we've always activated in student markets to create that emotional connection. And then when I'm thinking at 3 a.m. when I get in, oh, I want a pizza, oh, that's fine, I'll go to Domino's. So for us, that campaign in the past, so we've run it for multiple years, but we've had spin the wheel competitions. We had one year a karaoke setup, so students could come up and sing their favourite karaoke song to win a prize.
Did you launch any music careers?
No music careers were launched. Many many painful ears, but no music careers launched. But really, like I mentioned previously, that is about the experience. So I've had a positive experience with the brand, and now when I'm at that kind of point of purchase, I remember that brand at the fore. And for us, that's the really key thing. Obviously, those things are all alongside kind of a value-driven offering as well. So we give them a piece of pizza, and they complete a form essentially to load discount into their wallet on their phone, which is kind of the boring part of it that actually is the important part of it, because that's the data capture element, that's the value driven piece.
So that's the kind of that's the gold in the funnel, isn't it, where you sort of pivot from their experience into, right, we've got some like tangible data capture. But I suppose you've also like you've essentially got them to the fixture as well, haven't you? You know, if you think about it from a store environment, like you've got them to that point of purchase, whether it's now or in the next few weeks, you've taken them much closer on that buying journey, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we always make sure that we've got staff from Domino's there as well, so that they've got kind of a recognizable person that when they go into store, if they go into store or whether they order takeaway, whatever, then they might engage with that person again and again. That's kind of just making it a bit more personal from that perspective as well.
Right, that's interesting. So what about some of the challenges then? What are some of the sort of I don't know, hidden challenges nobody thinks about? I can imagine staffing's awkward, just getting everybody there on the day. Like, talk us through some of the tricky bits behind the scenes that you've got to nail to give a good activation.
Yeah. So staffing is definitely one. So we have a network of 4,500 brand ambassadors across the UK, right? So that is a large staffing portfolio that you have to manage continuously. We have an in-house team that manages that team, and you're absolutely right. One of the main challenges is getting these people to turn up, ensuring that they've got all the right information, things like that. But that is why we have a dedicated team to manage that. What we do is we create a culture that means that those people feel involved with the business, as in our agency. And then what we do is we select people for a brand based on their own personality. So we have the personality tracking based on each individual brand ambassador. So we know who's good for what brand. So I've got some work coming up in January with a gym franchise across the UK. I won't name names, but it's a value-based one, so you can kind of go
a few corporates.
Try and work out but we've really kind of matched personality there to that brand so that we can work that experience in the best way as well. So that's definitely one of our challenges. I mean, as any business is seeing at the moment, the current economic climate is not particularly fun for many people. And when brands don't want to spend as much, they don't need an agency as much. So again, that's really the part of our job to extract value in the campaigns that we're running for our clients so that they can come back and be happy that we can deliver that return on investment as well.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's really interesting. So if you're picking me for a brand, you pick me for a donut brand then, yeah?
A donut brand you want? Yeah. We'll go with that. Believe in Science, isn't it? That's the one that's...
It is down on the south coast. They're really cool.
Yeah. The healthy ones.
I'm really interested in following their story, actually. So give us a bit of a shout on, give us a bit of an overview on where Gotta Be Marketing's going. Like, what do you see on the horizon? Like, any changes to the agency? Any kind of, I know you've alluded to an interesting campaign coming up there, though, but any sort of exciting horizons that are worth mentioning around how the industry's changing or just interesting stuff going on in the company?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, when I was talking about mission, we have really aggressive and ambitious growth plans. So in the next 3 years, we want to grow by over 200%. This year alone, we've added 5 new team members. We've delivered over 80 campaigns and 60 events. So this is actually a really interesting one for me because my team produced our own version of Spotify Unwrapped the other day. It's on our LinkedIn, so anybody listening can go and look at that. But it's our own version of that. For us, we are continuously planning about how we can offer more for clients, how we can develop. One of the key things for us that we see on the horizon in the FMCG world is a real focus on EDI objectives. So you'll have seen recently in the space, there's more kind of DE&I events popping up. You've had DE&I in grocery recently popping up, and that's a space that we really want to touch on because it links to the other side of our agency really well, where obviously in the UK there's 14.6 million people that come from an ethnic minority background, and largely what we see is brands don't engage with those people in a way that understands how they are different because of their ethnic background. Brands generally just focus on your normal demographic splits of age, socioeconomic background, gender, whatever they may be, and largely ignore ethnicity. So I think that's definitely a space in the FMCG sector that we really want to focus over the next couple of years as well.
Cool. No, thanks for sharing. That's really interesting. Like you say, yeah, it's definitely tapping into some big macro trends there around like what's important on company agendas. So just taking it back to you, Mark, because I think people will be interested in like kind of what you get up to as well. Like I appreciate you're not your sort of job role is maybe not aligned to some of the roles that we normally recruit, but just give us a shout into kind of advice that you've got around building a career in FMCG and just kind of take us through some of the stuff that you've done that's allowed you to kind of like move through the ranks and kind of leverage an interesting opportunity where you're kind of fronting some really big, you know, projects with the likes of Domino's, like clearly you've grafted to get there. Like what have been some of the big learnings for you in terms of shaping your career and making sure that you're kind of, you know, I guess sort of thickening out in terms of, you know, your kind of character attributes, but also sort of deepening in terms of your skill level as well?
Yeah, no, definitely. So I guess let's preface it with a bit of kind of background of me and my career so far. So studied marketing at uni, left uni, joined a specialist digital agency, was there for a couple of years. They focused really heavily on B2B marketing, so digital specialists in the B2B space. For me, I am someone that gets bored quite easily. Hence why agency life is so good for me, because it's so different. But for me, I got bored, moved here, and that's where I kind of grew up this agency. So in March, I will have been here 3 years. I started in a brand marketing role and then kind of climbed up into kind of client services, I would describe my role as now. For me, the advice that I give people always, and I give all of my team always, is that experiences are really key. When you join any job, when you join any industry, I think employers are looking less and less at, you've got a degree, tick, cool, here's a job. They want to see where you've had experiences, what you've learned from those experiences. So what I always say to my team is take any opportunity that comes to you, whether it's talking on a podcast, whether it's, so recently I've talked to a group of over 1,000 school kids in a day, and that was really good, just to kind of help them on their journey as well. But it's taking those opportunities to learn and putting yourself in the position where you will grow, and that's equally why I really love working in small agencies, because I think there's a lot of opportunity in smaller businesses, in challenger businesses, to grow, to develop. I mean, like I mentioned, We've had 5 new team members this year. That means opportunities for other team members increase because you're filling roles in from the bottom as well.
Yeah, love that. Now, that's a really good point you make around just grabbing every opportunity that comes through, because I've seen so many people make surprising career moves into the sectors because they've been the person that puts the hand up, you know, after the Christmas do the following morning, says, listen, you know, you mentioned that, listen, I like to help, and it pivots people into it. And it's a lot easier to get opportunities to broaden out when you're in a job in a company that will tee you up for something, you know, external later on. A lot of people think, all right, well, I'll look external to gain that experience, and they actually don't do the groundwork first to think, okay, what's available here? Because that one of my sort of common questions or comments to people that maybe looking for the first time after they've had their first job for 2 years is, you know, have you really exhausted every opportunity? Because, you know, the people that are most likely to drop out of a recruitment process, and you'll know this yourself, Harry, of your own team, are people that haven't really properly mentally mapped out, am I ready to leave? Have I really exhausted every opportunity here? And even if it's just another 6 months left in the tank, that's valuable. And, you know, opportunities are still going to be there for great people in 6 months' time. So you're never going to regret spending that time just, you know, looking for those other opportunities to broaden out where you are. It's a really interesting point. Any kind of like advice on sort of books or podcasts or resources that you'd recommend for people in the sector that are looking to develop their kind of career and also their sort of professional network?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I really love, and I would express anyone to go and read it if you haven't finished your post-Christmas shopping, probably by the time this has gone out, is the book about innocence. So it's a really, really insightful book about the story of innocence. So how they were... their whole business relied on the decision of the public trying their smoothies at a festival, and then they set up 2 bins at the festival, and one said you should so essentially it got consumers to trial the product and then vote on whether they should continue the journey of innocent or give it up. So they were giving them advice based on taste. And had it gone the other way, we may not have the lovely bottles with every Christmas they have hats on and things like that anymore. So that's a really good book recommendation. Anybody that wants to kind of dive into that, excellent book. I think if I take book recommendations kind of outside of business and more for personal reasons as well, I think The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Yeah. I'm not sure. You might have to bleep that out. but it's a really good book about kind of self-awareness and equally not letting kind of external pressures build on you. And I think it's really important that a lot of people, especially in the modern day where you've got pressures of social media, of everybody else giving you their opinion on everything, and it's really applicable then to your professional life as well. But then podcasts, so I've got a couple in the FMCG world that I listen to. Obviously this podcast, everybody should go and everybody should go and listen to more. But I also love Cooking Up Innovation podcast and Brand Growth Heroes.
Oh yeah, that's popular, isn't it?
Really good in this space. Yeah.
That's some great recommendations. Yeah. Actually, I've seen that book around, The Subtle Art, and I've not read it myself. But a couple of people that I know that have read it said it's kind of like, it's essentially Stoicism, kind of repackaged for the modern reader. But it's kind of light touch, you know. There's not quite as much kind of standing on the mountainside, you know, in next to nothing in the rain, contemplating life, and more just, you know, getting through the day job. But, you know, I think the point you make there around, like, just, yeah, allowing yourself to kind of focus on what you can control, being sort of focused on that. I mean, gosh, yeah, that's something I'm constantly telling myself. Like, when we set this up 6 years ago, I think, you know, that's been like the number one thing to try and master when you're trying to, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just get better at what you do. So that's kind of great advice. But Martin, thank you so much for sort of talking us through that. Anything else that you wanted to add, you know?
No, not at all. I mean, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck is also available on Netflix if you're not a keen reader. And I think, bring on 2024. I think one of the last things I wanted to cover was just some kind of trends that we reckon are going to come in 2024.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, far away.
And definitely for people to kind of listen to and look at if they're listening as well. So I think for us, we see that more and more brands next year will need to be human. So often the world is dominated by your massive conglomerate brands that kind of just chuck out product and nobody really cares. I think you've got a lot of small players and really high growth FMCG products at the moment that are making genuine kind of emotional connections with consumers. And I think that really kind of leads into the second thing that we see coming in 2024 is I think businesses think that consumers are really price driven. And obviously, given the current economic climate, people believe that even more. But I think in 2024, that emotional connection is really going to beat price. And if brands can get that right, then they will really stand out on shelf and equally be there when people...
That is a testimony to that instinct there, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so many brands that are really good kind of examples of that where you'd probably go, really? Like £2 for a little protein bar? But then people are really kind of built into the community element of the brand.
I mean, yeah, look at Prime. Who would have thought someone could charge more than a Monster? But it's still like selling through. I'm seeing it all the course. It's not gone. I thought it was going to be a flash in the pan, being honest. I mean, because I'm not the target demographic, am I? But yeah, I'm still seeing kids come out chucking their hard-earned pocket money on these things. Yeah. Maybe it's not their pocket money, maybe it's just what they blagged their dad. But like you say, but it's got that personal connection, hasn't it, to somebody that means a lot to these shoppers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then I guess you've segmented me perfectly then, therefore, into the final one as well, is I think people really are going to buy based on their own values as well. We've seen kind of sustainability take a bit of a dip over the last couple of years. I think it may be post-COVID, financial pressures, things like that. But definitely into 2024, we think consumers are going to kind of really grab onto sustainable products and kind of more of this B Corp hype to come back as well. I think one of the really good brands that's emerging at the moment, I don't know if you've seen it, One Good Thing.
I've not seen that actually, no. Mm-hmm.
So it's a wrapper-free snack and protein bar. So no waste at all. Instead, it's coated in essentially what your apples are coated with. So it's a wax coating that's completely edible. So there's no waste in it at all.
Very interesting. Yeah. Okay. So what's that called? One Good Thing.
One good thing. Yeah.
One Good Thing. Right. I'm going to check them out. That's cool. I hadn't heard of them. But no, thank you so much for coming on the show, Martin. It's been an absolute pleasure. Where can people find you on LinkedIn? I'm guessing you've got your page there and you're pretty active.
Yeah. I mean, it's on my notes to be more active in 2024 on LinkedIn. But yeah, so you've got my LinkedIn and then obviously all my kind of campaign updates are always popped on there. I've always asked permission from your client for campaign updates, but yeah, I love to show kind of everything that we're up to and things like that.
Brilliant. Oh no, well, thank you so much for kind of sharing all about the Gotta Be Marketing journey, the story, what you're up to. Yeah, if you enjoyed today, please reach out to Martin, thank him for his time, thank you for his insights, and follow the company as he keep sort of abreast of some really cool activations next year. And thank you for everyone listening, giving us some love. We've had some great kind of improvements in listener numbers this year, so people must be like listening and sharing. Keep sharing and also letting us know what you want to hear on the podcast. Just reach out to me anytime if you've got any podcast guests suggested. And have a fantastic fantastic sort of smashing 2024 for everyone, and a really good start to that year. Take care. See you soon.